we are going to be educating you today on 8 red flags that mean you may be aging in an unhealthy way. And if you notice one or more of these indicators, you need to do a deep dive and look into getting professional help and figure out what the causes of these issues are and what the treatment plan is.
Welcome to the Answers on Aging podcast. This podcast provides solutions to your questions and commonly faced challenges about caregiving, legal, and financial issues, personal struggles associated with the normal aspects of aging, and the unforeseen obstacles that oftentimes can be life-altering and even devastating. Each episode dissects real life, real-time issues, and will often feature special guests who bring expert-level knowledge and free resources straight to you. This podcast is hosted by certified elder law attorney Todd Whatley and licensed nursing home administrator Sarah Scott. Together, these aging experts bring an impressive combined 30-plus years of experience to the table in order to give you all the answers on aging.
That is right. This is Answers on Aging, and we, as always, appreciate you listening and downloading, and we're almost at 1,000. We've almost got 1,000 downloads, and so I'm very excited about that. And as always, I am here with my co-host, Sarah Scott.
Hey, Todd Whatley, and welcome everyone to the Answers on Aging podcast. Today, we are going to be bringing to you episode 25, and we're going to answer the question, what are the top 8 red flags that indicate unhealthy aging? So we did recently have a radio episode somewhat similar to the information that we're going to bring you today, but we've also kind of modified it and added a couple of things, you know, from all of our years of expertise. Yeah. So a lot of these things that we're going to go through today, you can kind of elaborate on or get more detailed information from previous episodes or from upcoming episodes. Mm-hmm. So, but just in general, this is important to listen to and to understand and to share with others, because so many times in our working with clients, they say, well, I didn't know that. And you don't know what you don't know, and you can't sure. really be held accountable for trying to fix something or even recognize that this is an issue unless somebody has brought it to your attention or you've learned an error or made some mistakes along the way. So we are going to be educating you today on 8 red flags that mean you may be aging in an unhealthy way. And if you notice one or more of these indicators, you need to do a deep dive and look into getting professional help and figure out what the causes of these issues are and what the treatment plan is.
Yeah, some of these are temporary things that uh-huh. can indicate something else is going on. And so a lot of these do occur with older people, and you're like, okay, well, that's just what happens. Well, it may be, but it may not be also. It mm-hmm. could be a indication of something else going on. And so we're going to go through 8 of these that hopefully will spark your memory, spark something in you to say, oh, we need to address this. And so a good portion of this came from a article in betterhealthwhileaging.com website. Mm-hmm. And so I found this article, read through, I thought, you know, there's a few things here that I actually learned from this article. Yeah. And so I thought, okay, if I just learned it and I've been doing this forever, then probably it's a good podcast topic. All right. So again, thank you so much for listening. Number one, okay, and we've talked about this before, but one thing that I've expanded on in this really brought this home to me, and the number one thing is false. Okay.
Yep. There it comes again.
And it's not, and it's particularly, even if someone has not fallen yet, mm-hmm. Do they feel like they're going to fall? Does your loved one or do you feel unsteady? Do you feel like, you know, I could fall? And mm-hmm. just the fear of falling can keep you from getting up off the couch, going to the bathroom, you know, doing things, causing that gradual decrease in your physical abilities, which leads to unhealthy aging.
That's right. So I just want to speak to how important the fear of falling and just kind of expand on that a little bit, because I recently had an interview or an assessment appointment with a client who right out the gate told me, I am terrified to fall, because as you age and you have friends or family members who you see have had a tragic fall, broken a bone, had surgery, didn't recover, and it ultimately led to their death, you know, that doesn't, you don't want that to be you. Mm-hmm. And so this gentleman is literally not getting up, not walking. He's not drinking enough water, because that means he's going to have to get up and go to the bathroom. Right. And he's terrified to fall. So there are a lot of different ways you can treat that or resolve that fear by working with therapy.
Yeah.
And by doing exercises and helping build your tolerance, your stamina, and your confidence, so that you aren't stuck in this recliner or on the couch all day, every day, which leads to your demise.
Yeah. I mean, physical therapists are trained in this, and this is something they do. I love doing this. When mm-hmm. I did home health PT many, many years ago, it was very satisfying and helpful to my patients to get them so that they feel better, pick their feet up, feel, you know, shifting their weight side to side. They just felt better, and they would go back to church. Mm-hmm. They would go out and do stuff. They would drink water. So, you know, since they no longer feared getting up and going to the bathroom anymore. Yeah. So has your client fallen?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, and my point is, even if someone has not fallen mm-hmm. yet, if you do notice that they are not getting out and doing as much, ask them, why is that? Do you fear falling? And it's that fear that can be addressed in physical therapy. Mm-hmm. And you start that with your physician. And just like Dr. Balin told us in his dermatology one, his podcast is, if it concerns you, it should concern your doctor.
Yeah.
So don't think that you're being trivial, or, you know, that you're bothering your doctor over this very trivial thing. This is not trivial. If no. it concerns you on all of these that we're about to talk about, if it concerns you, it should concern your doctor.
That's so right.
Call your doctor and get this addressed.
Yes. So number two is memory concerns. And so if you listen to the episode that what is normal aging versus abnormal aging, you would have learned that the general course of aging basically translates into things slow down, which is okay. That's mm-hmm. normal. However, if you give yourself more time to recall a memory or what you were trying to accomplish when you walked into the kitchen, and you can't eventually retrieve that information, and you're ongoingly being more and more forgetful, that is a reason to say, okay, let's pay more attention to this. Let's go talk to the doctor, figure out what the cause is. And many times there is a treatment for whatever's causing the memory concerns that can be cured or at least improved.
Right. This is typically one of those things, particularly if memory decline comes on suddenly. Mm-hmm. It's not dementia. It is delirium.
Yes.
Delirium is due to some other medical condition that causes the brain to kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And many times you can treat the underlying cause of delirium, and poof, you know, within mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days of antibiotics or whatever, they're back, their memory's back. And so, like we said in the introduction, many times this, a memory concern, is an indicator that something else is going on.
Yeah.
So don't ignore it. Don't treat it as, oh, she's just getting old, so therefore her memory's going down. No. If it is a sudden decline, get it checked out.
Yes. Okay, so the number three red flag is depression. And a lot like memory loss, some people just assume that I'm getting older, I'm going to be forgetful and get depressed because all my friends and family are dying, I'm the only one left. However, what we fail to recognize so many times is that depression is a very real diagnosis, a real condition that can also be treated. And there is such a, it drives me crazy to hear people talk about mental health issues and, I don't want to take an antidepressant or I don't want to go see a therapist. Okay, well then just live your life depressed.
I see a soapbox.
It is.
Sarah has soapboxes. Not just me.
Because especially right now in our older generation, it's that mindset that if you have an issue, if you are experiencing depression on any level, you just push it down. You don't talk about it.
And just deal with it.
You just deal with it. Yeah. Or you just don't deal with it. And right. We're telling you, deal with it because it significantly impacts the rest of your quality of life. And there are so many different treatments for depression.
And I think during COVID, it's gotten tremendously worse.
Oh, for
sure. I think
people
are living in fear. Mm-hmm. They can't go do things like they used to. They can't mm-hmm. go out to eat. They can't go to church. You know, there's so many people. I mean, I know older people, retired ministers who never miss church. I mean, church was just something that they absolutely did. And a good friend of mine, her dad is a pastor, and she said, he's decided he is not going to church for the next month or so. You know that is hard on them because particularly as a pastor, church was their life.
Yeah.
Not just something that we go to on Sundays or Saturdays or Wednesday nights or whatever. Church was his life, and him not going to church is mm-hmm. a huge deal. And I'm pretty sure there's people out there experiencing depression over not being able to go do things and fear of, what if I go out and what if I get this? And so please, please, please address it. Do what you can to stay active and do things, but get this looked at.
Yes. And even if you are depressed, like clinically diagnosed as having depression, it doesn't mean that you are doomed for a bad quality of life. There are very effective treatments that range from art therapy to medication. So there are so many different ways to treat depression and to, if you're not going to be able to completely resolve it, at least you can get it stabilized and learn how to cope with it. So don't let a diagnosis of depression make you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm doomed.
Very good point.
Okay.
All right. Number four.
Take it, Todd.
You know me and bodily functions and things, but urinary incontinence and bowel incontinence uh-huh. is a problem. Okay. Yeah. And you know, this one issue can cause people again to not get up and go, mm-hmm. to not be active. It's like, well, I can't walk around the block because I may wet my pants. And mm-hmm. that decreases your activity level, which leads to weight gain and diabetes. And it can just, it's like, wait, this one issue shouldn't cause all these problems, but it can be one of those things that starts a cascade of issues.
Yeah.
And again, this can be treated. And mm-hmm. if you are having concerns about this or things are happening, again, if it concerns you, it should concern your physician.
It should. And I want to encourage you or the aging individual that you're caring for to get as comfortable as possible. I'm talking to you, Todd.
What?
With discussing your continence status with your physician and with your caregiver, because
just for the record, I don't have urinary continents.
Okay.
You're talking about in general.
I'm just talking about in general.
Okay.
I don't see you as the one who sits at the doctor and says, you know, I've had some more control bladder issues lately. It's not a comfortable thing to talk about.
It's not comfortable, yes.
But it is so important, and it can mean that other issues are going on that need to be addressed or figured out. Mm-hmm. And like the other indicators that we've talked about so far, there are a lot of treatments out there. We had a caller on the radio show earlier this week who called in. I was so proud of him and surprised that he actually discussed this, but he was talking about urinary incontinence and some issues that he had and was asking for suggestions. And so if you're out there and you have tried medications and they're not working, always, you know, feel free to go see a second opinion urologist or different type of provider. But also look into bowel and bladder training. It's a real thing that we used to do very often in the rehab facility after someone's had a catheter for an extended period of time during a hospitalization. And so there are some non-medical approaches that can also help control your urinary incontinence or your bowel incontinence. But the bottom line here, is to pay attention, feel comfortable sharing this information with your provider, and let them know when issues arise.
I appreciate how you know, we cover some pretty heavy topics, and we do our best to try to keep it lighthearted and not minimizing the issues, but we try to. I don't want to be too depressed. So, all right. So, yes, very good point. All right. So, this is one thing that I've dealt with as a physical therapist, and my mom dealt with this a lot because she had arthritis. And number five is pain. Okay. Pain is one of those things that you think, well, I'm old, my body's wearing out, so I just have to live with pain. And you really don't.
No.
Okay. There are some fantastic medications out there that can help decrease your pain. And again, just like the other things, if you're in pain, you're less likely to get up and go and do things and be social. And, you know, it affects your mood. It affects your personality. And if you're in pain all the time, you're not going to be you. And therefore, bring this up with your doctor and talk about, I need something to manage my pain. This hurts. We've tried to fix it. It's not going to get fixed. So I just need to manage my pain. And one of my biggest pet peeves was I would be working with a 85 or 90 year old patient who had had knee replacement or hip or just was just in pain. And I would call the doctor and say, look, they need some pain medication to help me do therapy with them. They're like, oh, I just don't want them to get addicted to pain meds. I'm like, they're 90 years old.
Yeah.
That's the least of their concerns right now. Uh-huh. If you're 30, you probably should not be addicted to pain meds. But if you're 90, and this will help you get up and go and do things, I think being, quote, addicted is probably not, you know, a huge issue.
Right. And there are a ton of non-pharmacological approaches to addressing pain symptoms. So, hello, let's
try that. Sarah's favorite is
Epsom salt baths.
She is
Man,
the Epsom
salt. Man, it's hard to beat a good Epsom salt bath. Anytime my kids get, you know, roughed up at ball practice or whatever, I'm like, you want me to get you an Epsom salt bath ready? And they're like, yes, please. And my oldest even prefers Calgon bath salts in with it because he loves the smell. He's a little feminine that way. I love it.
You have affected your boys.
Yes. Okay. So the sixth red flag that could indicate you are not aging in a healthy way is isolation and loneliness. Have you listened to the episode about the importance of friendship and relationships and socialization? Because that speaks directly to this red flag. And this is really helpful whenever you are looking at the whole picture of either your life as the aging individual or as the caregiver and figuring out, okay, do I have a support system in place? Are they active? Can they be more active or more involved? And am I making an effort to reach out to them and let them know I'm kind of feeling lonely today? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And Sarah does a fantastic job of written notes, and she is the queen of the thank you note. And so pick up the phone, write a note, do something to reach out to friends and family because they're probably lonely too. Again, right. During COVID, people don't get out, they don't do stuff. And so pick up the phone and call people, a friend that you've not talked to in years, surprise them and say, hey, how you doing? And you just never, my mother used to surprise me. She, I would be watching TV or something and phone would ring. She'd answer it. And 30 minutes later, she would hang up. I'm like, who was that? She said, well, I don't know. It was a stranger. And I was like, what? A stranger? She said, yeah, it was the wrong number. But she could just talk to anybody. And so I'm like, okay, if you can spend 30 minutes with a stranger, surely an old friend, rekindling, memories, things like that. Just, please, if you can't get out, which is best, to sit face to face with someone, go to church, go to the exercise groups, whatever. If you can do that, if you feel comfortable doing that, please absolutely do that, because isolation and loneliness is a huge issue and can cause you to age unhealthily. But even if you can't get out, pick up the phone, call some folks, and at least write them a note.
Yes. Okay, so the seventh red flag is polypharmacy.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that you're taking multiple medications. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, especially when we see specialists for, let's say, urinary incontinence, and they put us on a medication, they're not going to necessarily know all the medications that your primary care physician has you on. So first and foremost, if you do see more than one provider, please make sure that each provider is fully aware of all the medications, even the over-the-counters and vitamins that you take. Mm-hmm. And also have them review those, because just because you bring a list of medications to your doctor's appointment doesn't mean they're always going to be comparing them. That was one thing I absolutely loved about working in the nursing home, is we had to have a pharmacist consultant come in and quarterly review all the medications that all the residents were on and look at the drug-to-drug interactions. Mm-hmm. And also, there's a thing called a black box label that certain medications have that means this medication is even more dangerous for a senior to take. Wow. And so that's very important to recognize. And according to this article, every year, 177,000 older adults visit the emergency room due to medication problems. Whew. Now, that could be med-to-med interaction. It could be failing to remember to take our meds. It could mean a whole bunch of things. But the bottom line is, get the current list of your meds. Make sure all of your providers or all of your prescribers are aware. And check with your pharmacy, because a lot of times the pharmacist will review because they've got all your records right there.
I was just going to say, I think one of the most underutilized professionals is a pharmacist.
For sure.
They know drugs. I mean, that is their job. Living. Mm-hmm. And it's highly encouraged that you get all of your medications from one pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And then if you have concerns, I know they're busy, they're back there counting pills and doing things, but say, look, I have some concerns. Yeah. Can you pull up all of my drugs and let's talk about it? Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. I think they would love to do that, because personally, I think being a pharmacist would be extremely boring because you're like counting pills all day. Uh-huh. But to have someone who comes to you and says, hey, let's talk about this. Yeah. I think they would get jazzed about it and say, yeah, this is my training. And yes, I can help you with this. It's just no one ever asked me to do this unless you're a nursing home pharmacy consultant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your guy at, you know, Walmart or wherever is just sitting there counting pills all day and would love, I think, to talk to you about all of your medications, mm-hmm. how they interact. And I think most doctors are even willing to take a phone call from a pharmacist to say, hey, I'm concerned about Miss Jones.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And also, just a little tip, in the nursing home, anytime a resident was on 9 or more medications, wow. and that included, we would consider medications even like triple antibiotic ointment that you would put on a wound, because it's got chemicals in there. It's got medication in there that could potentially interact with other chemicals in your body. So anytime you or your loved one is taking 9 or more medications, I would just call the pharmacist directly and say, can you please look at this and tell me if there are any negative indicators? And if so, what information do I need to share with my provider so that we can avoid a negative outcome because I'm on so many meds?
Very good point.
Yeah.
Polypharmacy, a huge issue with the aging.
Yes. And we will have an upcoming episode with a pharmacist who can speak to that a whole lot more intelligently Yay. Than Todd. And I can't.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. The last and eighth red flag that could mean you are not aging in a healthy way is personality and or behavioral changes.
Ooh.
Oh, goodness.
They're suddenly very angry when they were happy, or they're happy when they used to be very angry, which is a good thing, you would think, but it could mean something's going on.
Right. So don't confuse this for kind of that entitled attitude that our seniors eventually kind of just embrace. And, you know, I've paid my dues. I don't have to do, you know, I don't have to mow my yard anymore, or I'm not, you know, doing this or that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about significant changes in their behavior. For example, the grandmother who was a Sunday school teacher and would never raise her voice is all of a sudden dropping F-bombs. Just maybe once or twice, but that's totally out of character.
Right.
And that's an indicator that there's something going on. And if you haven't already, I recommend that you go back to the previous episode when we interview Dr. Jean Chambers, the neuropsychologist, and understand the importance of what kind of treatments are available, what kind of personality or behavioral changes may indicate that there's an underlying mental or cognitive impairment that really does need some professional attention.
Without going into just a ton of detail, there are some testing that a neuropsychologist does. It is amazing how they can pinpoint very specific things, you know, memory loss. Is it short-term? Is it long-term? Personality. I mean, it's these tests are amazing to say, here is the specific thing that is going on in your brain, and here's how you can treat it. And, you know, again, if it concerns you, if this person's personality or behavior has changed significantly, or even moderately, just, you know, if it concerns you, it should concern your doctor and say, hey, this is going on. And sometimes the person may not agree with you. I'm fine. There's nothing different with me, but.
Okay, well then let's go to the doctor and prove me wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Prove me wrong.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I think that's a good list.
That is a good list. And as always, we really, really want to say thank you so much for listening to the podcast and for learning and hopefully improving your aging process. And as always, we encourage you to subscribe and share. We're not just putting this out there for our loyal listeners. We want you to help share this information, help educate your friends and your family. And you can always use our podcast as like an excuse to start a difficult conversation. Oh, I was listening to this podcast and they said if you started cussing all of a sudden, we needed to talk about it. So
tell real quick about the guy who called into the radio show who was like, thank you. Remember that?
Yeah.
Sarah's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
The one that made us tear up?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. It was so sweet. It was so sweet. We had a listener that called in, and he just had the nicest things to say and expressed his appreciation for the information that we put out there and how helpful it's been to him. And he just couldn't say enough good things. And it was so heartwarming and just really validated why we do this.
Yeah,
we love getting the information out there. And, you know, they are difficult topics a lot of times. And we do our very best to bring you important, helpful information that makes your life as easy and smooth as possible as you age.
We try to do it as fun as possible.
As fun as possible as well.
Not boring.
Not boring. And so, you know, the only way we can do that is with your help. And
yeah,
you
please
can help
share.
By sharing this information.
All right. Thank you all very much. And we will talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Answers on Aging podcast with Todd and Sarah. Be sure to hit subscribe and keep tuning in each week as they bring you helpful, useful, and easy to find resources for making life as we age as simple and enjoyable as possible. For more information about this episode, visit answersonagingpodcast.com. Click on the show notes tab and take advantage of the free resources right there at your fingertips. To see Todd and Sarah live, check out our Facebook page, Answers on Aging, to catch a live feed of their radio show every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10 o'clock. Todd and Sarah welcome feedback and love to answer your questions. So please, let them know what you think by leaving a review and share with your friends and family.